Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back. This is hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Samira Umat has the week off. We are taking your calls and your questions, your concerns for you or a loved one. I'll give you that number. Phone lines are open, ready for you at 800-465-8770. And we'll get right to you. We don't want everybody calling at the end of the show. All right, Dr. Mixon, you are studying something pretty intensely over there.
Yeah, well, actually, I was looking at my email during the...
Oh, yeah, you get a lot of questions there, too.
Yes, I do, but this is one that I didn't know whether to laugh or just delete it. It's somebody writing that wants to buy the clinics from me.
Oh, boy.
It's a big hospital organization, and they own... I don't know what, 120 or 130 clinics around the country.
Wow.
And they're interested in making an offer for Longevity Medical Clinic. The thing is, I have absolutely no interest in selling.
No.
Sorry, folks. I understand why you want it, but no, I don't want to sell it.
No. And they don't do what you do.
They don't.
They change it and alter it.
Precisely. Yeah. You know, they're talking about, you know, the insurance industry and how hard it is on doctors and yada, yada. I said, I don't do insurance anyway, so you know, forget that.
Yeah, go away.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
That's right. Oh, besides, my. You know, I do the clinics because I'm having fun.
Yes.
Because I enjoy them.
This is your passion and this is your heart work.
What would I do if I sold it? You know, I mean, really, if I did not have the clinics and stuff, I would waste my time just making money. You know, I mean, I got enough.
You're already doing that.
I got more than I need, and I don't need a lot because, you know, I have no ambition to have a private jet or a yacht or whatever. You know, my recreation is going into the National Institute of Health database and learning new stuff.
New stuff, and then giving that information to us.
And then I give it to the doctors, and they
patients.
Pass it on to the patients. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do for fun.
Yes.
I understand it's a bit of an odd form of fun for most people, but that's my joy in life.
Yes. So. And we appreciate it. And, you know, so many people learn so many things. I remember my mom is gone now. She just passed away about 3 months ago. But every time I'd come back from the radio show, it's like, Mom, did you know this? And she just loves all of that information. Yeah. And longevity isn't just another clinic, and we're special. We're different than anyone else.
We are indeed, because we treat the normal but undesired changes of aging.
Yep.
Normally, as we get older, we get slower, mm-hmm. fatter, mm-hmm. weaker, mm-hmm. dumber, less and less sexual, and generally our attitude about life kind of fades away, and
happy.
Gloom and doom become the base.
Oh, you know, it's just the way it is. It is what it is.
And you go to your doctor and explain how you're feeling, and they say, well, you're getting old. What do you expect?
That's not helpful.
No. So, my job is to help people be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and that makes them happier.
Yes.
And a happy, fulfilled life is or should be the goal for everybody. Mm-hmm. Not piling up more money, not owning or controlling more stuff, because stuff doesn't help.
No.
You know, what you really need is a joy-filled, robust life with goals and ambitions and things you're still doing. And yeah, I know I'm 76 years old, and one of these days I'll keel over and die. But you know what? I'll probably have 6 or 8 projects that
going
I, that
at
I
the same time. Yeah,
yeah. That I'll end up having undone when I go.
So, and that's okay, because you've got
perfectly
a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, we got another. 100 and something. I think was your last goal.
Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Whatever. As long as I can run, jump, leap, dance, and cavort, I don't care about the numbers.
There you go.
So anyway,
that's right. Well, you ready to take another call?
Let's take another call.
All right. Headed to Stanwood. Warren is on the line. Good morning, Warren.
Hello, Warren.
Good morning. How are you?
Listen, if the scoundrels in charge find out how good I feel, they will be taxing it.
They will be taxing.
We're going to keep it a secret, aren't we? Just you, me, and a few thousand other folks.
That's right. Hi, Warren. What can we do for you?
Say, I just had blood work done, and I'm 73, and my PSA has been pretty steady at like 3.6, plus or minus a little. And all of a sudden, it popped up to like 4.9.
Okay.
And I'm kind of aroused by that. But then I'm doing some research, and it says that even recent sexual activity and or exercise can add
That's
to
right.
that. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what might be the cause of this bump up, and if that's a real problem or concern.
Well, let's find out if it's a real bump. Go back and repeat the test. That's the first step.
Okay.
Remember what I've said several times today even. Nothing done to or by human beings is perfect, and that includes laboratory testing. So whenever I get a sudden change in a lab work that doesn't make a lot of sense, doesn't fit a change with the patient, the first thing you do is repeat the test. Okay. If the second test is still up there in that range, okay, now we've got, you know, we've two separate tests a week or two apart, both showing a higher PSA, then we have a significant issue we have to address. Why? Okay. But there's a good chance that if you've been stable and it suddenly jumps up a full point, it's probably just a lab error. It happens. These things are not done by technicians. What they do is they load the serum into these little tiny micropores, and it runs through the machine, and the machine churns out 100 tests at the same time. This is bang, 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 bang. And once in a while, either something doesn't rinse properly, or the wrong amount of reagent gets put in, or there's a bubble somewhere in a tube, and you just get a screwy result.
Hmm.
And so that's the first thing I always tell my doctors. Okay. Strange lab tests, repeat the test, see if it's real. Then if it's real, we can start looking for causes. Let us assume for a moment that it is real, that we've suddenly gone from 3.6 to 4.9 or something like that. If it's real, then that fast, assuming it's been less than a year, 6 months or something since your last test, the odds are it is either sexual activity or trauma or infection of the prostate. Okay. Prostatitis. I have seen that take PSAs from 2.5 to 17.5 in a matter of a week. Okay. So, you know, the prostate is right down there at the neck of the bladder and is exposed to the outside world by the meatus, the opening in the penis that goes back. And it's also exposed on the other end to the bladder and the urine. And so if you had a bladder infection of some sort, that can cause infection and inflammation in the prostate. Or you can get viruses and bacteria and stuff can come up from the outside and infect the prostate. So prostatic infection, anything that causes increased metabolic activity in the prostate, and fighting an infection can certainly do that. You can get big, big changes in PSA very, very fast. And then sexual activity, yes. An orgasm an hour or two before they draw your blood can show that. So if you had, you know, morning intercourse with your partner before you came in to get your blood draw, that can cause a bump in your PSA too. So can be recent sex, can be trauma and exercise, could even be an especially big, hard, painful bowel movement that traumatizes the prostate as it comes pounding by there trying to get out. Among our homosexual patients, rectal intercourse just really raises that PSA because it just pounds the hell out of the prostate. So I always have to warn my gay guys, no sex for a couple of days before your PSA. These are all possibilities. But first step, recheck the lab. Does that answer your question?
I emailed my doctor and I asked him if we need to redo the test or a different test.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, this is just for the last day or two, but is a 4.9 like really bad, or where is it on the spectrum?
You're how old did you say?
73.
Yeah, so in your 70s, actually somewhere in the fours is kind of average. Most men's prostate enlarge as they get older. The thing that makes me raise an eyebrow is the sudden change, the rapid change.
Right.
And so if it had been rising slowly and had gotten up to this point over a 2 or 3 year period, I wouldn't be terribly concerned. I'd say, okay, so his prostate's getting bigger as it goes. Now, obviously, we have an arbitrary cutoff. Any time the prostate or the PSA gets over 4 without a good explanation, then I run a 4K test. It's looking at 4 different prostatic kinases that give me a statistical probability of prostate cancer. Because prostate cancer is one of those things that will raise metabolic activity in the prostate.
Hmm.
The prostate cancer, it's a tumor, is growing fast, and so it releases a lot more PSA than normal prostate tissue. So a rapidly rising PSA makes you wonder about prostate cancer. So I always then take another step. I do the 4K test, looking at prostatic kinases, what are the statistical odds. And then if I'm really worried, I send you for an ultrasound. I misspoke. An MRI.
MRI,
yeah.
Okay.
Magnetic resonance imaging. And an MRI, a 3T enhanced MRI of the prostate will get really, really precise. And if there's any lumps or anything growing in there, we can see it on the MRI quite nicely. Then if we see a lump on the prostate, then we go to biopsy to see what the lump is. But I don't like sticking needles in the prostate if I don't need to.
So is the 4K test, is that a normal mainstream medicine test?
Yes, yeah. It was pretty weird when we started doing it about 7 or 8 years ago, but now most urologists and many family docs have finally caught up to it. So, yeah. We tend to run 10 to 20 years ahead of the rest of the curve.
So, well, leading edge medicine.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
But
this rise has just been in the last year. So, hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
So Dr. Mixon is an elevated TSA. Is it TSA?
PSA.
PSA.
Prostate-specific antigen.
Okay. So when men typically get the first thing they're thinking is prostate cancer,
yes,
probably.
Yes.
I'm glad you mentioned all those other things it could be, too.
Yeah. Prostate cancer is one possibility of a rising PSA, but it's not the most common.
Okay.
Okay. There's a lot of other things that will bring the PSA up that are not cancer. But the doctor's job is to think of two things. What is the most common cause of this? And what is the worst thing it could be?
Because
we don't want to miss the bad stuff.
Yes, yes.
Okay? So most of the time, it'll turn out to be the common stuff, but you always check for the bad stuff, too.
That's good. Good to know. And Dr. Mixon, for somebody that, like Warren here, how long should he wait until he has the second test? A few days or a week or so?
Sooner is better.
Sooner is better. Okay.
Because you want it to be as close to the other one as possible.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense.
I'm trying to repeat that test.
All right. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Oh, yeah, ahead of the others. That's why we're here. And we discuss with you things that you could be doing so that you're not just growing old and feeling weaker and, like you
old,
said,
slow,
old
fat,
and slow.
Dumb,
who
sexless.
Wants that? No, you want to play with your kids and grandkids
if
and
old, slow,
travel.
Fat,
and
yeah, if old, slow, fat, dumb, and sexless is your goal, you don't need us.
You don't need to do anything.
That's right. Just relax. It's happening.
It's happening. Yes. Here's that number to call with your question. We'd love to talk with you, too. We are live in the studio with Dr. Mixon, 800-465-8770. Call right now at 800-465-8770. And we are going to be talking with William next. Stay right there. You can't. Welcome back. We're Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon live, taking your calls and answering questions today. I'm Lynette. We're headed over to talk to William right now. William, you said something was going on with your ears. How can doctor help?
Hi, doctors.
Hello.
I had a shoulder pains 3 or 4 months ago that were really, really bad, especially at night. Mm-hmm. And it's not so bad now. It's just very mild. But mm-hmm. I've been taking the turmeric curcumin, mm-hmm. and I get jet engines in my ears. Is that caused by the turmeric?
Shouldn't be. The curcumin, which is the active ingredient in the turmeric, is actually... There's a fair number of studies showing that it's protective against noise-related hearing loss.
I used to take the daily little aspirins years ago, and uh-huh. I quit that, and I had the ringing then, too. So I was wondering if it was coming back of that. I've also taken an omega-3. I don't know if that would uh-huh. do it either.
No, it shouldn't. There's something else going on. But, you know, the aspirin is famous. One of the signs of aspirin overdose is a ringing in the ears. So, mm-hmm. you know, back when you were taking aspirin, that would explain the ringing then. But most people, as we age, start losing our high-pitched hearing from a lifetime uh-huh. of loud noises. And curcumin actually helps protect against that. And if anything, it usually improves our hearing. So I've never I've never seen a paper or heard even anecdotal reports of it causing a roaring in the ears. So I'm not sure what is causing that, but I'm reasonably sure it's not the curcumin.
All right. Well, appreciate that information. Any idea on the shoulder pains out of nowhere, and they were very
the most common cause. Yeah, the most common cause of shoulder pain in people, you know, over 70s and 80s, is inflammatory bursitis. Hmm. That lining around the shoulder joint just gets irritated and inflamed. You know, as we're getting older, those fibrous connections that kind of hold everything together are getting weaker, and it becomes easier and easier to cause inflammation there.
Yeah, both shoulders came on at the same time, and it was real bad sleeping. I couldn't put any pressure on them for a while, but it's slowly diminished now where I don't have any problem sleeping.
Well, actually, hitting that pretty hard with the curcumin and the omega-3s will probably help damp that down pretty fast. They're both very good anti-inflammatories for shoulders.
Okay. I'm not much on any pills, so I try to take them mildly. So I'll hit them pretty good, like you said.
Yeah, hit them pretty hard, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, take care, sir.
Thank you for the call, William. It's 9:20. We are in hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. And this is the number that you can get through to ask your question, like William did just now, 800-465-8770. We're headed over to my town I lived in for many years. I love it. Snohomish. And we have Kelly. Snohomish. Yes.
I love just the sound of that word.
I know. Snohomish. Oh,
because
I love Snohomish.
Snow.
Yes.
Snohomish. Good morning.
Hi there, good Kelly, morning. From beautiful Snohomish.
So, enjoy your show. It's always such good information. It's real thankful for that. I had a question regarding testosterone. It seems like all the mainstream doctors think that men, as they get older, if they do any type of testosterone therapy, that it could bring on or cause prostate cancer. Is there any correlation, doctor?
Yes, no, but not the way they think.
So, all right, let's talk
about
it.
I'm not surprised.
There was a doctor back in 1941 who published a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine based on one patient.
Oh, okay.
One patient.
One.
Yes. And in 1941, he was treating a patient who had prostate cancer, and the fellow also had taken some testosterone. And that doctor, in his paper, wrote one sentence, and that one sentence, the rest of his paper has drifted into obscurity.
Oh, except for that one sentence.
Except for one sentence. And his sentence was this: using testosterone in a patient with prostate cancer is like pouring gasoline on a fire.
Oh, wow. So when you Google up using testosterone, does it cause cancer? That's the line
that has been around since 1941. Now, The reality is no. The fascinating thing is, and I found the literature basically by the 1980s was showing that there was no positive correlation between testosterone load and prostate cancer. Finally, I think it was in 96 or 97, the major textbooks of medicine finally came out with a chapter, and the chapter heading started right off, prior to previous beliefs, we now know that testosterone does not cause prostate cancer. And in the intervening 30-some years, that finding has been buttressed over and over and over. We now know that giving testosterone to men who have had prostate cancer and been treated does not raise the incidence of reoccurrences at all. They get the same rate of reoccurrences as people that don't get testosterone. We know that men who have high testosterone, either naturally or with supplementation, get the same amount of prostate cancer as men with low testosterone. But the men with low testosterone tend to get more aggressive prostate cancers that are more likely to kill them. So if testosterone
that goes along with getting older, of course. So I can see.
Yes. Yeah. And so it really comes down to there are two types of prostate cancer. The most common type is an androgen-sensitive prostate cancer, and that is a prostate cancer that requires a little bit of testosterone to grow. And we call that the threshold effect. If you castrate a man, if you remove his testicles or give him chemicals that effectively castrate him chemically so that his testosterone drops to zip, that form of prostate cancer will slow down or even shrink a bit for some period of time. Okay. Any amount of testosterone, even the low amount that the typical 80-year-old man makes naturally, is more than enough to feed that form of prostate cancer. And once you cross that threshold, you can add all the testosterone you want, and the cancer doesn't grow any faster. So, short of castration, that any testosterone at all in that form. Now, here's the other part that's even more scary. There is a second form of prostate cancer that is non-androgenic in its support. And that cancer is the type that grows the fastest and tends to kill men. It grows fast, it spreads fast, and it tends to be fatal far more often. If you take a man who has the most common androgenic form of prostate cancer and you take away all of his testosterone, you give him drugs to shut down all of his testosterone production, within about 3 years, mutations start to occur in which his previous slow-growing cancer changes over to the non-testosterone-dependent form and starts to grow much faster and spread earlier and have a higher likelihood of killing him. So used to be back in the 1950s and early 60s when we still believed that original one-patient paper, they used to put men on estrogen or testosterone blockers forever. Now, even when they put them on, they tend to do it for a shorter period of time, and they may give it to the guy for 6 months and then remove the drugs for 6 months and let him have some testosterone and then put him back on it for six and then take him off in an effort to prevent that mutation to the non-androgenic aggressive form from occurring.
Wow.
So what's with the hangover, the stigma that follows testosterone? You would think that the mainstream would catch on.
Yeah, you would think when you're
true that there's not a correlation.
Yeah, medicine changes very, very slowly because medicine is highly government regulated.
Yeah, and, that's a fact.
You know. And anything that is regulated by governmental committees tends to be extremely slow to adopt anything new because the standard of care is what everybody does, and the standard of care is what keeps you out of court. And it doesn't mean the standard of care is what should be done. It just means that that's what everybody does. And it's complicated by the fact that we have the most lawyers of anybody on the planet. And physicians as a group tend to see themselves as a herd of herbivores out on the plain being surrounded by predators with law degrees. And everybody's afraid to get out on the edge where they get picked off by the predators. And so everybody jostles.
That is a great analogy.
That's so good. Yes.
So everybody's jostling to stay in the center and do exactly what everybody else is doing so that they don't get picked off. And they can be picked off by
the nail. You hit the nail right on the head with that analogy. That's exactly what it seems.
So, is there
a downside to testosterone, doctor, in men? Is there a downside to it?
Well, of course.
In older
men? Absolutely. Listen,
what are
doctor,
some of them?
Okay, let me give you Dr. Mixon's rules, okay? I have four rules of medicine, and they apply to life in general, but I actually made these up for medicine. First rule of medicine. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. There's a downside to every decision we make in medicine, whether to treat or not treat. Treat with this, treat or that. Treat with this dose, treat with that dose. Every decision we make has a downside. And so your doctor's job is not to give you things that have no risks. They don't exist. Your doctor's job is to give you as many benefits as possible, balanced against as few risks as practical. Mm. All right. That's rule number one.
Well said.
Rule number two, okay? The proper dose of anything is just enough to do the job, because the higher the dose, the higher the adverse effect risk comes. Third rule, if you don't measure, you don't know. Giving people hormones that have actual changes in their physiology, that have real potent physiological effects, and checking them once a year is stupid, because human physiology is never stable for a year. That's why we see our patients at least every 3 months and recheck their values. Okay. And the fourth rule is one I hate, but it's true. You can do everything right and things can still go to hell. It's just life. right.
Murphy's alive and well.
He certainly is. And stumbling
well,
over his own feet.
I appreciate you. I think you're a brilliant man. So thanks for your show.
Well,
appreciate your information.
Let me tell you about the downsides of testosterone, okay?
Yes, sir.
Because that was one of your questions.
Yes.
And I think
yes,
it's an important one. Okay. In the proper doses in a normal man, the benefits outweigh the downsides 100 to 1. Okay. You are going to be stronger, faster, leaner. You're going to shift your metabolism towards muscle and away from fat. But more important is going to be your brain. You're going to have better stress tolerance, better ambition, a brighter, less depressed outlook on life. Low testosterone causes depression and fatigue. When they take testosterone away from men with prostate cancer, the suicide rate goes up 300%. Literally.
Wow.
Many men would
wow.
rather die than live without their testosterone. That's the simple truth. Okay. Downside? Yeah, you can get acne. You get pimples again. If your dose is a little too high and you're not balanced with your other hormones, you can get adolescent pimples. That's a downside, right?
Yeah.
Your beard will grow faster. So if you don't like shaving every day, well, your testosterone is going to make you have to shave, okay? If you are not in a sexual relationship, if you don't have a partner who wants sex with you, you're going to spend more of your life horny and frustrated because your libido is going up. And if hers doesn't, life can be pretty miserable. Okay? So these are downsides.
What about blood pressure? What about blood pressure, doctor?
Blood pressure generally tends to go down instead of up.
Ah.
Okay? But you can be, if you get more physical activity, if you're getting stronger and more muscle and you're running and jumping more, when you are physically active and using your muscles, your blood pressure can go up during those times. But in general, it's a vasodilator. It tends to open up blood vessels, and so pressures on balance tend to go down.
Interesting. Interesting.
Okay.
Well, I sure appreciate your time. It's great to be able to get this information every week. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kelly. Bye. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with a question from Lorraine in just a moment. And if you have a question, we still have a half hour. Here is the number, 800-465-8770 to talk with Dr. Jerry Mixon. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
Feel like a woman. Hey! Girls need a break tonight. I'm gonna take the chance to get out on the town. We
oh, Shania.
That's right.
I love
her. I still think, though, that I keep expecting a woke version of that song to come out.
Oh.
You know, man, I feel like a woman. Will probably be sung by a man with a deep bass voice, you know. Man, I feel like a woman.
Probably. Like, please don't ruin that song. We love our Shania. Oh, welcome back.
Anyway.
Leading Edge Medicine here. Dr. Jerry Mixon. And room for you on the phones at 800-465-8770. Right now headed to Tacoma. Lorraine has a question for the doctor. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Lorraine. How can I help?
Well, I'm 89, and I'm trying to build the muscles in my legs, thighs, because I've been having problems, so I'm doing a lot of exercise, but I'm not getting enough protein. I hate to cook anymore. So I am using your protein whey powder every morning. I have it and with my one packet of my basic six. Is that protein powder okay to take every day?
Oh, yes. The fact is, you can use it twice a day if you want. You know, older people...
I do okay on my breakfast meals and my lunch meals. I eat a lot of cottage cheese and yogurt and things like that. But I don't cook dinner, so I've been buying the packaged meals. And since I started taking this protein powder, it's been about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I really feel, and I take it in the morning, and I really feel that I have more energy. I don't seem to be so tired.
Yeah, the older folks don't make enough hydrochloric acid in their stomach, and so they don't digest protein very efficiently. So anybody over about 65 or 70 needs about almost twice as much protein as they did when they were young to get the same amount of amino acids in their bloodstream.
Wow.
So they can make muscle. The joy of the powder she's talking about, we call it Optimal Lean, is that it's been pre-digested. It's already been hydrolyzed. They started with whey, which is very high in protein and in casein, and they hydrolyze it and break it down to the constituent amino acids. So when she is taking this powder as a drink, she's actually already got it. The amino acids are there, and so they're absorbed from the gut almost instantly.
Wow!
And so it's far more efficient than actually eating protein for older people. So it's a very nice way to do it. It's got more stevia in it than personally I like. It tastes sweeter than I like. So I try to dilute it with something. But yeah, most people really enjoy the taste.
I really like it. In fact, if I have a half a cup of coffee left, I put the coffee in with it.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, and the coffee actually adds that little bit of bitter. You've actually got to the way that I dilute it.
I take
the powder, and because it tastes too sweet to me, because my wife's Chinese, we never have sweet in our house, and over the years I've just gotten to the point that I don't tolerate much sweet, I take instant coffee. And so I take the couple of scoops of the powder, and then I take a big teaspoon of instant coffee and mix it in with the powder. So that, and the instant coffee adds that little bit of bitter bite to it. And I enjoy the taste better that way.
Well, there you go. You might have to, I'll have the Dr. Mixon Optimal Lean Powder Cappuccino.
That's right. Yeah.
No whip, please.
So you can use my trick if you want. Is a little bit of instant coffee helps to get rid of some of the sweet and adds that little bit of coffee jolt to it.
There you go.
So,
well, thank you so much. I'm going to keep using it.
Okay. Let me ask you a different question, though. Are you one of our patients?
No.
Oh, darn. Okay. Because here's what I was going to suggest is, to go see your longevity doc and have them move your testosterone into the higher range of where we would keep it for you. Most people don't realize that the primary sex hormone in women is not estrogen. It's testosterone. When you were 20 years old and physically at your peak, you had 2.5 to 3 times more testosterone in your bloodstream than you had estrogen. And one of the reasons that older women have trouble making muscle mass and having enough strength to climb the stairs and do the things they want to do is their testosterone is too low. And so if we raise your testosterone load up, keep it balanced with your estrogen, but have about 2 parts testosterone for every part of estrogen in your system, you will find that your exercise will be far more effective, and your ability to go up and down stairs and carry the laundry and do the things you want to do around the house gets much, much better. So,
well, thank you so much. I appreciate your program.
All right. You take care, dear. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Lorraine. Waiting for that next call, and you can call right now at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. And Dr. Mixon, you had asked Lorraine, she's 89, if she was a patient. She's not, but you know what? She's not too old to join us at all.
No, she's not. In fact, I have treated patients that were over 100. And so, you know, that's, if you're still alive and kicking,
yes,
you're young enough for longevity medical clinic. I mean, absolutely, that's basically what it comes down to. Because, yeah, I can't make an 89-year-old as vigorous and active as I could a 50-year-old, but I can make them better than they are.
Yes.
And Lorraine is doing everything she knows how to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what she needs is a doctor who knows more and is willing to give her the things that her body is lacking that'll help her to be stronger and help her to respond to her exercise more effectively so that she can have a better, more joyous life. I mean, that's the goal, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm less concerned with how long I live as how well I live.
Yes, yes. You want to finish strong.
And I'm living pretty well.
Yes, you are.
So, and I plan to continue for the foreseeable future. But, you know, however long we live, I think how long is less important than how well. And I want every American to be strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, and have a joyous, lovely, happy life.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're after.
Absolutely. And who wouldn't want that?
Some people apparently don't.
Because
they choose not to be patients at longevity medical clinic.
No.
Which tells me that for some reason that I don't understand, they've decided the slow, fat, weak, dumb, and sexless is their goal in life. And
no.
Okay, your life, live it as you will.
Yes. Oh, I want to, you know, end strong, happy, and be able to do things with my family and my friends and travel and go to all the places.
Yep.
And you know what? It's not too late for you to call, whether you're 89, whether you're 49 or even 39. We have young patients at Longevity who've come in saying, hey, I want to see where I'm at so I know. And it will probably be a little easier for them because they're younger, you know, and they may not have as
Dr.
much
you,
going
Matt,
on.
And I are actually in process right now of developing a program for all those techie 30-somethings
that are on the computers all
that
day?
That are spending their lives sucking photons out of a computer screen.
And looking at their phones.
And they're getting slow and fat and overweight.
At a younger age.
At a younger and younger age. So we're looking at developing a program that would be not as comprehensive for them as what we do for our older folks, but also less expensive because we'd have to do less.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, we're kind of putting that together. I'm hoping we'll be in a position to start marketing that by the first of the year.
That would be awesome.
And, of course, marketing to the techie guys, it'll all be digital.
Yes, and so they'll be able to respond. And
that's right.
They may not even have to leave their screen or desk.
I don't think they know what a radio is, quite frankly.
And no, they know what an app is, though.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, and streaming us online, which a lot of folks do.
Well, but even that is usually the older group.
Mm-hmm.
50 and up is pretty much our audience on this show. But, you know, when I'm going after the late 20s to mid 30s, 40-ish at the oldest, yeah, that'll be an app-driven, digitally driven marketing.
Okay. Now I see, you know, they seem to, that group seems to be more sedentary because
of
computers and things. But I wonder if because of all the vegan and gluten-free stuff, if they're eating better than what we did when we were 20s and 30s. But they need to get moving. They need to get out in
fresh
air. I'm not
sure they're eating better.
Just eating different.
They're eating different. Human beings are not designed as vegetarians, as vegans.
Mm-hmm.
We're omnivores. We're designed to eat anything that doesn't eat us first.
Ah.
And, you know, I'm always a little nonplussed by these pale, puny, skinny little folks who tell me that if I eat the way they do, I'll be healthier.
And they don't look healthy, and they always have colds.
And I can, and I can
I've
lift,
never seen a healthy
I can
one.
Lift them with either hand and throw them out the door. So, no.
Oh, boy. We want you to come in and see what we can do for you at Longevity Medical Clinics. We have three that you can pick one. There is one near you, Linwood, Tacoma, and our brand new, beautiful facility that we are opening up. We're operating, but we will have a grand opening very soon.
Probably somewhere in November.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
We had to get out of our previous clinic because mm-hmm. our lease was up.
Yep, it was up, and our new one wasn't done.
We either had to move into the new one or practice in the parking lot.
Yes.
And I thought the parking lot would not provide enough, especially in rainy days, you know. But so we are in our new space, but, you know, the reception desks have not yet arrived.
Okay, so we're making do. That's
some of the
okay.
fancy rope lights are not in yet.
Ooh.
Some of the, you know, the signage on the doors and stuff is not there. So that'll all be arriving somewhere later this month.
That's right. But if you have an appointment or want to come in
to
Kirkland.
We're here. We're having a great time.
Oh, yes.
It's just not quite as pretty as it's going to be.
But it will be, yes. The doctor is in at Longevity Medical Clinics. Ask for that free health analysis appointment. Get your health journey started with Longevity. One way to do that is by calling our phone number, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or go online if you're techie or have a grandchild or a kid that's techie. That works too. Go to lmclinic.com and you can sign up for the free health analysis appointment there too. All right. We want to see you in here. We want to see you healthy and getting healthy as the new year approaches here in 3 months. Less than, actually. We'll be back. And John, we're going to talk with you next right here on Leading Edge Medicine. You stay close. Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio today.
And Bob Seger,
of course. Bob Seger, yeah. Dr. Mixon doing the disco over there.
I do enjoy old-fashioned rock and roll.
Woohoo! Yes, I'm a rock and roller for sure. 10 minutes away from 10 o'clock, we have one more caller here. Calling in from Vancouver, we have John on the line. Good morning, John.
Hello, John.
Welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for your military and community service up there.
You're welcome, sir.
I did not get in on that third solution to the prostate. I was interrupted by a knock on the door. But the little bit of... could you tell me what it was?
Oh, was that the aqua ablation, perhaps?
Well, aqua ablation was the last one.
Okay.
That was, so we started with
ablation.
The... ablation. Yeah. But there was the... Well, AB... ablation. I think the first one was the old TURP.
TURP.
And then we did the lasers. Mm-hmm. And then I think we did the...
Resume?
No, it was...
Is that the last one, maybe?
No, there was one before the resume. That was the one with the staples. That was the...
Oh, yeah, that's the one. I kind of put that out of my mind.
That's a Eurolift.
Yeah, Eurolift.
That's Eurolift.
Right. Yeah, the Eurolift. And then we did the resume and the arterial... prostatic arterial ablation,
wow.
And then finally the aqua ablation. Yeah.
Lots of options there, John.
I had two of those. I had the resume and the, I just mentioned it. I'm having a senior moment. But the Eurolift, yeah. So I've had those two and still got a big problem.
Yeah. Unfortunately, as I have said several times in this trip, nothing done to or by humans is perfect. And there's failures in every procedure.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, if you've had the Eurolift, then you've got those foreign bodies in place. And that's
good. Yeah.
Yeah. And because those are there for life. And that is going to limit what they can do with the other procedures. Boy.
Would they still be able to do that aqua ablation?
I don't know. You've still got the hardware in place, both in the urethra and on the outside of the prostate. That's a question you're going to have to ask somebody that actually does the procedure. You know,
okay.
The one that I'm pretty sure you could do, but if I recall correctly, you'd get a lot of your care at the VA, and I don't know if the VA's doing these yet. And that would be the one by the radiologist, the prostatic arterial embolization. Because that one is pretty much irrespective of hardware. They don't have to actually do anything surgical within the urethra. It's done from, you know, within your arterial tree. So you might talk to your doctors about both of those options, the aqua or hydroablation and the arterial prostatic embolization.
Okay, sir. Okay. I shall do that. Well, thank you very much for that. I got something to talk to him about anyway.
All right. You take care,
sir. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right, and we have room for one more call. If you're able to get in quickly, we can take that call.
Because otherwise, we're going to be short of time.
That's right, 800-465-8770. If you've been going, oh, I don't know, I don't want to wait on the line. Yeah, go ahead. Call right now, and we'll get to your question. 800-465-8770. At the beginning of the show, Dr. Mixon, you were talking about those vaccines. Always seems to be a question about those, especially this time of year. What should I do? Dr. Mixon.
Well, and, you know, I can't tell you what you should do because everybody's life is different and their priorities are different. For me, I'm getting my flu shot.
Okay. Is that one you get every year?
I get it most years.
Okay, depending on the
Sometimes, you know, I just get busy and it skips my mind. I'm feeling good. I'm running fast. I'm doing things. I'm traveling around.
I've never seen you ill, sick, with a cold, tired, or coming in going, I don't feel very... Never.
No. I'm pretty robust.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. But this year I do plan to get my flu shot. I just going to get it after mid-October because I want it to last through flu season. People forget that the influenza is an RNA virus just like COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And like COVID, the flu shots only last about 4 or 5 months.
I know. I think a lot of people think it lasts forever.
Yeah, no.
Or at least a year or two.
Or that's why they were expecting and the
instant fix.
Well, and the dumb politicians were saying, well, and if you get your COVID shot, you'll be safe for life.
Yes.
No. It's an RNA virus. The vaccine is good for about 4 to 5 months. Mm. And the virus mutates quickly. You know, RNA is a single strand. DNA is a double helix. You have two strands wrapped around each other. So when there's damage to one strand, the other strand is a template to do the repair. So DNA is not damaged very easily. So mutations with DNA structures happen pretty slowly.
Okay.
RNA viruses are a single strand of nucleic acid, and they are easily damaged and easily mutate. And so RNA viruses change and change and change and change. And anything with an RNA virus that you make a vaccine for this year, you're going to need a different one next year.
Because it changes so quickly.
Because it changes so quickly. And we've seen that with COVID. It changed, you mutation this, this change, we call this one, we do the next one. And the vaccines, they're reasonably effective for 4 to 5 months, and that's all. So, you know, the politicians were lying through their teeth, and I don't know if they were consciously lying or they were just ignorant.
Well, they kind of do that for a living.
They do it for a living, but
yes, I said.
But
that.
They are, they're lawyers by and large.
Yeah,
lawyers are not doctors, and lawyers don't know much about microbiology.
You know,
I suspect that law school does not have 1 hour of viral genetics.
Probably
in their,
not.
In their program.
It's not on the LSATs. No.
Yes. And so, you know, so we got people making rules that know nothing about what they're making the rules about. And so they tell us things that aren't true. And I suspect they probably believe them.
Yeah.
They're just wrong. Mm. Okay. They should leave medicine to doctors and get the politicians the hell out of our bailiwick. Anyway.
Okay. So you're getting your flu shot for sure.
My flu shot for sure. And again, I've got the latest version of, you know, of the shingles, the Shingrix.
Okay. Doing that one.
Doing that one. And I'll probably update my pneumococcal vaccine because I got a newer one of those out too.
How about COVID? Are you doing that one this year?
No, I'm not doing COVID this year.
Okay.
Because right now, COVID presents no significant threat to my population.
Okay. Very good. Dr. Mixon, thank you so much.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Yes, we'll be back. I won't be. I'll be in Italy next week. But Dr. Mixon will be here.
I'll be here.
Oh, yes, and Dr.
So
Umat, too.
Dr. Umat.
Yep, and Mark Holland will be filling in for me next week. So thank you for joining us. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We are brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics, and you can contact us by calling 866-86-YOUNG or by going online at